You know that voice in your head? The one that just never really stops.
The constant narrator.
Yeah, exactly. Always commentating, judging, asking questions, sometimes even arguing with itself. It can honestly feel a bit like being trapped, you know? Like you
Yeah.
can't get away from your own
It
thoughts.
really can. Overwhelming
So
sometimes.
here's a thought. What if that voice, that narrator, what if it isn't actually you?
Ah,
What
okay.
if you're the one who's like listening to it?
That's a fundamental shift right
It
there.
really is. And that's what we're diving into today. We're exploring Michael Alan Singer's book, The Untethered Soul. It's basically an invitation, isn't it?
It is an invitation to go inwards.
To find out who we are beyond all that mental noise and maybe find some, you know, real inner peace.
And what's so great about Singer's work, I think, is how he pulls from all these different spiritual traditions, but makes it feel, well, pretty straightforward, accessible.
Right. It's not super dense psychological theory.
No, not at all. It's more about just noticing something fundamental, something simple, that there's a kind of separation inside us. We've looked at a great summary from Reading Graphics and a really insightful blog post from Breath.ByBreath, and they both highlight this path to awareness.
Okay, good. So our mission here is to pull out the really key ideas, the nuggets that can help you listening right now. Cut through any confusion and connect with that quieter place inside without getting totally overwhelmed by information.
Exactly, those aha moments.
Let's jump in then. The core idea, separating your true self, your awareness, from all that mental static, that voice we mentioned,
Yeah.
the one observing, judging the traffic, planning dinner, worrying about tomorrow.
It just goes on and on. And it raises that big question, doesn't it? If you're talking to yourself all the time,
Yeah.
who is the you that's listening?
Right.
Singer points out, quite rightly, I think, that a lot of this chatter is, well, kind of pointless. Worrying about the weather doesn't change the weather.
True.
It just makes us feel a certain way, usually worse. So the big insight, the game changer, is really internalizing. You are not the voice. You are the one hearing it.
That alone feels like it could create some space.
Immense space. Suddenly you're not fused with the commentary, you're the audience.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting from this. Singer uses this analogy. He says, imagine the voice is like a neurotic roommate living in your head.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Can you sort of unpack that? How does thinking about it like a roommate help?
Well, think about it. If you actually live with someone who never stopped criticizing, nitpicking everything you did, judging your choices, always wanting something different, always complaining,
You'd think they were unbearable.
exactly. You wouldn't necessarily believe everything they said, would you? You certainly wouldn't let them run your entire life based on their anxieties and demands.
No way.
But that's often what we do with our internal monologue. We treat this roommate like it's the absolute truth, the boss. Singer's point is, maybe it's just a neurotic roommate. Maybe a lot of what it says is just noise, unhelpful noise.
So it's not about trying to forcibly evict the roommate or shut them up completely, which sounds impossible anyway.
Right. It's more about recognizing them for what they are, just a
Okay.
stream of thoughts, judgments, fears happening in your awareness, but not being your awareness. You could start to, just notice them without having to engage with every single comment.
Politely ignore the less helpful stuff, maybe.
Precisely. And connecting this outwards, think how much energy we spend trying to fix the world because the roommate is complaining about it. Singer flips it. He suggests asking, okay, which part of me is actually bothered by this situation? Often the real issue isn't the external thing itself, but our internal reaction to it, fueled by that roommate. The shift comes from inside, by stepping back from that identification, from the roommate's drama.
Okay, so if I'm not the voice, not the roommate, then who am I? This leads to that profound question, right? The one Ramana Maharshi asked, who am I? Because when you start looking, you realize, well, I'm not my name. That can change. I'm not my job, not my body. That changes constantly. Not even my memories or my personality, really, because those evolve too. Even my thoughts and emotions, they come and go.
They're all temporary states or labels. So as you mentally peel back all those layers, the roles, the thoughts, the feelings, the sensations,
Takes
what's
like
left?
awareness, the feeling of being aware.
That's what Singer points to, your
Yeah.
conscious awareness, the
Yeah.
part of you that simply notices all of it. He uses the analogy of a lucid dream, you know you're dreaming, you're aware within the dream.
Okay.
We can cultivate that in waking life too,
Yeah.
observing the thoughts, observing the emotions, observing the world around us without being totally lost in them. It's about becoming conscious of being conscious,
Yeah.
returning to that fundamental state of just being aware.
Wow. Just think about the kind of clarity, the peace that could bring. Just observing thoughts float by like clouds instead of getting swept up in every storm.
It's a practice, of course, but yeah, it's potentially transformative.
So that's the mind. Now let's shift gears a bit. The book also talks a lot about internal energy, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. This idea of an infinite source of energy within us. Different traditions call it different things. Chi, prana, shakti, spirit.
Right. And how does that connect to the mind stuff?
Well, Singer suggests this energy flows naturally and freely when we're open, relaxed, receptive to whatever life brings. You know that feeling when you're just in the flow?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But it gets blocked. Gets stuck when we close down, when we resist experiences we don't like, or when we cling desperately to things we do like, afraid to lose them.
Okay, closing down or clinging too tight, both block the flow.
Exactly. So the journey in this sense is about noticing where we're blocked,
wow,
where we're holding on or pushing away, and learning to consciously release those knots. That's how we tap back into that deeper wellspring of energy.
There's another great analogy that came up in our sources for this, the thorn.
Ah, yes, the thorn in the arm. That's powerful.
Can you walk us through that one? Imagine you get a thorn stuck deep in your arm.
Right. And instead of just dealing with it, pulling it out, which might hurt for a moment, you decide to just live with it. But you structure your whole life around not bumping the thorn.
You avoid crowds, you wear specific clothes, maybe you can only sleep on one side.
Your entire life becomes constrained, limited,
yeah,
all organized around avoiding this one point of pain. You build a whole protective structure around the thorn.
So the thorn represents
what?
Our emotional pain, our fears.
Exactly. Our unresolved wounds, our insecurities, maybe past traumas, things we don't want to face directly. And the core message is stark. We spend so much energy avoiding pain that we end up building lives defined by that avoidance. We limit our own freedom drastically.
Like the fear of public speaking example you mentioned. Avoiding promotions, staying small, all because of that one thorn.
Precisely. The courageous path, Singer suggests, is being willing to face the discomfort, to feel the pain, to metaphorically, or sometimes literally, remove the thorn. That's where true freedom lies. It's about learning to accept experiences, even difficult ones, letting them flow through you without getting stuck, without becoming that thorn.
It really makes you think, how much energy do we waste just reacting, swinging back and forth between clinging to pleasure and resisting pain?
A huge amount. It's like this constant pendulum swing, and it's exhausting. A more conscious way, more energy efficient way,
right,
is just to notice the reaction starting, oh, I'm starting to close down here, or wow, I'm really grasping for that outcome.
Okay.
And then instead of getting swept away by it, you consciously choose to relax around it, to release the tension. You let it go.
So you're not fighting it, but you're not indulging it either.
Exactly. And when you stop pouring energy into those extremes, you find you just have more energy, more,
yeah,
balance, more presence to actually live your life with purpose rather than being constantly drained by these internal tug of wars.
That's a powerful idea for reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Where might you listening be building a life around an unaddressed emotional thorn? And what might freedom look like on the other side of facing it?
The big questions.
So as you get better at this, observing the mind, noticing the roommate, releasing these energy blocks, letting go of the thorns, something else starts to happen, right? You begin to glimpse something beyond your everyday personality.
Yes. You start to realize deeply that you are separate from all that mental and emotional turbulence you used to think was you. That constant chatter, the ups and downs, the neurotic roommate, you see it clearly as something you experience, not something you are.
And Singer talks about this as a path towards, well, he uses the word enlightenment. How does he frame that?
He frames it as a process, really. A progressive letting go. Letting go of old ideas about yourself, limiting beliefs, attachments to outcomes, attachments to things, even deep-seated fears that keep your consciousness kind of tethered, you know.
Shackled.
Yeah, shackled. So enlightenment isn't necessarily one big zap moment, though maybe it can be for some. More often, it's this continuous process of releasing layer after layer of what holds you back, allowing your awareness, your spirit, to naturally expand.
Okay. And the culmination of this path, this progressive untethering, seems to be about choosing to live fully, embracing what he calls unconditional happiness.
Mm-hmm.
There's that example about the starving man.
Right. The starving man isn't picky. He doesn't say, oh, I'll only eat organic, gluten-free bread. He just wants food, any food.
So the point is, if we're too specific about what happiness has to look like, I'll be happy if I get that job, or I'll be happy when I find the perfect partner.
We make it much harder to find. We put all these conditions on it. Singer's argument is, what if we just choose happiness? Full stop, as a general state. Like the starving man just wants food. What if we just want happiness?
Huh.
Without defining exactly how it has to arrive or what form it has to take.
Allowing ourselves to be happy with simple things, with just being.
Exactly. Finding peace and contentment much more easily, much more often, because we've dropped the endless list of prerequisites.
So this whole spiritual journey, as Singer lays it out, involves this continuous release, letting go of lower frequency stuff like anger, fear, resentment, detaching from outcomes, from needing things to be a certain way.
Yes. And as you do that, there's this sense of an upward drift. Your baseline state of being just naturally starts to elevate.
And what does that feel like?
You find yourself judging less yourself, others, situations. There's a growing sense of connection, maybe even love. For everything. For people, for nature, for life itself. You start radiating a kind of openness, an unconditional acceptance.
And ultimately, where does Singer suggest this can lead?
Ultimately, he suggests that our individual sense of consciousness, which felt so separate and small before, can start to merge with something much larger. Universal consciousness, perhaps. You get a taste of a love that isn't personal or conditional, but vast, selfless, divine. Your sense of self expands beyond the boundaries of your skin.
That's quite a journey. It's interesting, too, to put the author in context. Michael Singer, he had a master's in economics, right? Before his spiritual awakening.
Yeah, quite a grounded background initially.
Then he founded the Temple of the Universe, this yoga and meditation center. But he also co-founded a really successful software company, Medical Manager, which WebMD later bought.
Mm-hmm. Lived in both worlds, you could say.
Yeah. Apparently, there were some legal challenges with the business later on, too, before he fully immersed himself back into the spiritual teaching. It just adds this layer, doesn't it? Someone who navigated the complexities of the material world alongside this deep inner exploration.
It does make the teachings feel perhaps more grounded, more tested in the real world.
So, recapping our journey today, we started with recognizing that voice, the neurotic roommate inside.
Mm-hmm. Learning not to identify with it.
Then, understanding how we block our own energy by clinging or resisting, and the idea of facing our thorns instead of building lives around avoiding them.
Releasing those blockages to find freedom.
And finally, seeing this path lead towards letting go of limitations and choosing unconditional happiness.
And the thread holding it all together is that core insight. You are not your thoughts. You are not your emotions. You are the awareness behind them, the observer.
Just shifting to that perspective, it seems like that's the key that unlocks everything else.
It really is. It offers this incredible potential for freedom, for peace, just by watching life unfold without getting totally tangled up in the mind's running commentary.
So this deep dive really highlights that true freedom. It's not about controlling everything outside of us. It's not even really about silencing the mind.
No. It's about untethering ourselves from the inner turmoil, the inner drama.
So a final thought for you listening. What possibilities might open up if you truly started to see yourself as just the witness to your thoughts, your feelings, allowing them to come and go without needing to fix them or fight them or become them?
And what might your life feel like if you stopped putting conditions on your happiness? And just decided to choose it right here, right now.
Something profound to sit with.